And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. And I tell you what, before I jump into the dippers, I see I got a call. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Show you and Boomer.
Thank you, sir.
I think any liberals, any socialist leaning Democrat liberals, seeing what happened today, what's going on this week with the persecution and prosecution of Donald Trump for as much as they can make up on the guy, and then Hunter Biden getting a sweetheart deal and an easy pass. It better scare the crap out of them, too, because the pendulum swings. And once the precedent set for egregious totalitarian government corruption and going after political enemies and persecuting people who don't think the way you think or hate the way you hate or believe the way you believe, you can set a precedent, and the bar is pretty low for how ugly it can be in the future for anybody on the wrong side of whoever's in power.
I totally agree, and you brought up a point. Something I hadn't labeled there was, yes, five and a half years of investigation results in nothing but a misdemeanor for the son of the Democrat president. Heck of a thing to be a Biden right now, huh? But yet, yeah, Trump's facing felony charges on what used to be misdemeanors in New York and potentially Georgia and, of course, down in Florida. It's nuts.
You know who's going through a bit of a trial this week as well? My wife and I have tickets for James Taylor at the Orion tonight, and I did some checking around to see what time the show is, and it's postponed. Sweet baby James has severe laryngitis, so his whole week of shows here in Cincinnati and somewhere in Michigan are all postponed off until the end of August.
Oh, dang, so, man.
Prayers out to James Taylor. I know you're a big music fan. And
yeah.
I'm a musician and a music fan. And we're hoping to see him in good health and good voice on August 22.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those that I have decided that his political views do not stop me from listening to his music. I think he's one of the great American singer-songwriters. So, man, I hate to hear your concert got canceled. That's a bummer.
No, that's okay. There's a wall of rain up here in Huntsville about to douse everything anyway, so it could have been a wash. Who knows?
All right. All right, Spark, you have a good day, man.
You too, bye.
See ya. What a bummer. You got tickets, and the next thing you know, no concert. What? That brings up all kinds of memories about, like, taking Charlene to see a concert and finding out that the tickets we had were actually scam tickets that I did not know were scam tickets. And no, I didn't buy them from the guy on the corner going, "Hey, buddy, you want to buy a ticket?" No. These were like legit through a ticket source, and then they weren't real. All right, let's jump in. You ready? Coming up top of the hour here in a minute. We're going to take a break when the time comes. And coming back from that break, we'll have John Rogers, who's a senior pollster for Signal Analytics, talking about the numbers. That's number one of the Triple Dipper here, running the numbers. Are we running the numbers? Where are we right now? What's happening? And by the way, I've said it before multiple times. I'll say it again. In politics, even a week can be a lifetime. It's amazing what the October surprise can do to a campaign. But that being said, there's polling data right now, and they're tracking the polling as they go. Here's one story that's interesting, though. Story that came out just a couple days ago. ABC host is shocked by a post-Trump indictment poll showing a statistical tie. What does that say about Biden, he asks. So, yeah, ABC's Jonathan Carl was shocked on Sunday by a poll that came out showing that the indictment of former President Donald Trump had just barely, you know, done anything at all to the numbers. A poll from Quinnipiac, which is a nationally, you know, recognized poll, a poll from Quinnipiac on a possible Biden-Trump mashup. They call that, by the way, in polling, they call that a head-to-head. So in the head-to-head between Biden and Trump, right now the Quinnipiac poll showed Biden at 48, Trump at 44. Okay, 48-44, you think, well, that's a Biden win. Well, there's a thing called the margin of error. So within every polling, you have to report your margin of error, your plus or minus 2, your plus or minus 3. Well, plus or minus 4 is roughly the margin of error on this poll. So if it's Biden at 48, Trump at 44, well, the guy on the news goes, well, this is after the indictment. I mean, that's going to make you, that's within the margin of error. That's a statistical tie, he said. What does that say about Biden if he's barely beating Trump after an indictment? They're worried. And they should be. I will say this, though. Every poll consistently shows Biden, for the most part, leading Trump, at least by a small number. But it also shows, in other words, you have to dig down to what they call the crosstabs. The crosstabs are the respective data that builds up to those numbers, right? So when you look into the crosstabs, you begin to find things. Where is what they call his fave-unfave, his favorables versus his unfavorables? Is he underwater? Yeah, man. Biden is so underwater on his fave-unfave right now, and he's in a statistical dead heat with a guy who's been indicted. And oh, by the way, there's a lot of time left to work. Democrats are freaking out right now because they know if they just go ahead and let Biden go and find a new nominee, that leaves them with Kamala? Oh, it's rough, man. We're going to run the numbers. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.
Side ruffians out there.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're in number one of the triple dipper. I mean, we had the sidebar conversation there about the indictments of Trump being set for trial in August and the plea deals of Hunter Biden coming down to misdemeanors. So Trump's going up to felonies and Biden's are going down to misdemeanors. It's amazing. I mean, just like there's going to be a tornado somewhere in the middle. But anyway, all that to say, that was a sidebar. We went in the number one of the triple dipper right before the break. I'm calling it running the numbers. And I told you about the fact that right now, some polls, and this story came out just the other day on Fox, ABC's Jonathan Carl was shocked that Biden would actually still be within the statistical dead heat margin of error with Trump, even after he was indicted. Why would this be? Well, polling's funny, but right now I'm going to bring somebody on, a friend of mine that I've known for a number of years, John Rogers, senior pollster with Signal Analytics. Signal actually started here in Alabama and grew, and they're now a national polling firm. My buddy John's been with them now for a couple of years, doing a great job. I want to get his perspective. So without further ado, John Rogers, how are you doing?
Phil, I am doing great. Great to be with you. And, man, it's a crazy time in politics, isn't it?
It's a target-rich environment, brother. Well, listen, I mean, I've got copies of, you know, some of the polling data from Real Clear Data and Real Clear Politics, I mean, and a bunch of others. But this is what you do for a living now, which still kind of boggles my mind that you get to make a living out of looking at numbers all day. But that being said, Republican primary, what do y'all see?
Well, I think it's important to remember the context here. You know, we're 504 days away until the 2024 election, right? So that's like three lifetimes in politics, yeah. If not a lot more, really.
Yeah.
We are 391 days away from the Republican National Convention. And so there's a lot of time, right? And I think one thing to keep in mind, too, that's also especially important is the next big thing on the calendar for the Republican primary is August 23rd. And that's when the first debate is going to be held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is actually where the RNC is going to hold their convention next year. And that debate, you know, is going to be on August 23rd. And it really, I think, is going to really show whether you have whether there are going to be some people who can make a name for themselves and really stand out, people like, you know, Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, people that may be a little bit lesser known right now nationally, but have been working hard in these early states. And it'll also be interesting because this, you know, everybody's going to be training their fire on Trump, I think, to some extent. Some people very directly, like Chris Christie, and then some people, you know, are going to do it by sort of implicit contrast. So, I mean, it's a really interesting time right now in the Republican primary season. I do think on the polling side that it's a little bit difficult to show exactly where things are right now because of the second indictment, which came down, I think it was on June 9th, which was 11 days ago, right?
Yeah.
And so there have been some polls that have been in the field since then, but it's not, you know, it's sort of partial data right now.
So looking at it all in the totality, is there anybody besides Trump and DeSantis that's out of the single digits? I mean, are we still looking at everybody pretty much in the remaining of the field, including the former vice president Mike Pence, are all running in single digits? Last time I checked, is that right?
It depends on the poll that you're looking at. But Phil, one thing I would also say is that these national polls are interesting to look at. In fact, we do a national poll every month, and we're about to go into the field for the one in June. But the one that we got back in late May, you know, we had Trump at 51%, then DeSantis was at 21%, and then everybody else was in the single digits. Those national polls are great to look at. They're very interesting and they're informative in a lot of ways. But what really matters from the standpoint of politics is what is going on in those early states. Is somebody making a move in Iowa, which is going to be first to go with the Iowa caucus in January of 2024? Is somebody really being able to, get some traction in New Hampshire, which is second up, or in South Carolina, which is third up? That's really what matters a lot more than even some of the national polls that you'll see CNN or Fox News put out.
Okay, so I've got one right here. Real Clear Politics reports the American Greatness poll was done in Iowa on June 8th. So we're just, what, 2 weeks since? And that one actually has Trump down lower than usual. Trump 39, DeSantis 24, the rest in single digits. What else do you see on the early states? Anything else?
Yeah, I think in all the polling that I've seen recently out of the early states, you know, Trump is still in the pole position,
right?
And but it is interesting that in a number of polls, he's not over 50% in some of these early states. And so there definitely is a large portion of the Republican electorate in Iowa and Hampshire and South Carolina and a lot of these early states, they're open to non-Trump candidates. And frankly, I think that as news of this indictment kind of rolls along, whatever you think of whether the DOJ, didn't apply the same standard to Hillary Clinton or to Hunter Biden or some other, you know, people in the past, I do think that Republican voters, at least a portion of them, are going to take this a little more seriously than they took the sort of ridiculous indictment that that Bragg put out in New York City.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I said earlier on the show before you came on that the situation in Florida with the classified documents allegations, that is to me the one that gives Trump the most potential for negative exposure when it comes to liability. But still, at the same time, he got a pretty good bump out of that indictment, didn't he? I mean, he raised $6 million apparently the next day. But what did it do to his polling numbers? Anything at all?
Yeah, so I can allude to a poll that we did in the Midwest recently, and there was an area in this poll that we did in the Midwest of Republican primary voters. Trump's image in this poll was at just plus five, right? So that's just one data point. But his name ID or his image was lower than we have seen historically. Now, after the Bragg indictment in New York City, there was sort of a rally around the flag, rally around Trump effects with a lot of Republican primary voters. And we may see a little bit of that with this as well. But it could also be that, and I think we're just going to have to wait and see as things kind of go throughout the rest of June and headed into July, see if there are Republican primary voters who say, you know, I have a lot of sympathies for Trump and may think that he was unfairly targeted by the DOJ indictment, but may also think, you know, this is a lot of things to deal with around Trump and may start to kind of consider other options.
Well, and I've wondered about that. So I got one question for you before we go to the possibility of a head-to-head on the Democrat versus Republican ticket. But But is there a Trump fatigue out there? That's a question that I have. Personally, I don't know of anyone that in my listenership or in my personal sphere that doesn't want to see Trump-type policies back in place. But when it comes to Trump the man, is the polling indicating at all that there's a Trump fatigue within Republican voters?
There is certainly a Trump fatigue with certain types of independent voters, with suburban women, a lot of different types of independent voters. Yes, there's definitely a Trump fatigue. With Republican voters, it's a little bit more complicated, right? Because I think that there's definitely a segment of the Republican electorate that they are going to back Trump no matter what. That's probably 20 to 25% of Republican primary voters. And then there's another, decent chunk of voters who really like Trump and really like his policies, but they would be open to someone else. I think the key is going to be they are going to need to be convinced that that other candidate would fight just as hard as Trump did, and be just as effective in the White House in pushing conservative policies.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then, with the couple minutes left. The primary is the thing. I mean, we gotta get a candidate first. Right now, Biden is decidedly, unless something changes, he's decidedly a shoe-in on the Democrat ticket. But that being said, what's the head-to-head look like in terms of Trump versus Biden? How do you see it?
Yeah, so our latest national poll that we did, it showed Biden with a slight edge on Trump. Biden was at 47%. Trump was at 45%. So it has remained pretty close for the last 4 to 5 months. And, I think a lot of that is just that as divisive as Trump is, and as much as there's going on with the indictments and everything else, there's a lot of voters, including Democratic voters, who look at Biden and they see the frailty, right? And they see the age, and they see aside from the disastrous economic policies that have really put us in a funk. But I think that, Biden is the favorite versus Trump if that were the general election, but he's definitely not a shoe-in to beat Trump again, necessarily.
No, statistical dead heat within the margin of error, right?
Yeah, at this point. And again, it'll be really interesting to see how things play out over the next week or two with the indictments. So it never a dull moment.
Well, you said it. I mean, we have how many days left to the primary? 800 something, you said? No, not 800. What am I saying?
Yeah, no, we've got with the election, there are 504 days until the 2024 election.
Correct. And then how much to the primary? What are we looking at here, roughly, for Alabama?
Well, Iowa is January 22nd.
So
we've got about 6 months till the first caucus.
Boy, they kept themselves in the early poll position, didn't they? Well, all right, man. It's going to be interesting. And you're right, though. I brought up those dates again because I said earlier in the show, even a week can be a lifetime in politics. Anything can happen. Somebody could have a heart attack and change things. Then again, you could have John Fetterman have a stroke and still win the election. So you just never know. Politics is a weird animal. But right now, gauging the winds of public sentiment, that's an art. And I'm glad you guys are in it, and I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Absolutely, Phil. Always great to talk with you.
All right, take care. John Rogers, Signal Analytics. It's good stuff. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll finish this piece up when we come back. Running the numbers, and then bottom of the hour, we'll switch gears. Time for some adventures in woke world. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Boomer's cracking me up. I'm literally going, hey, it's about time for Adventures in Woke World. He goes, no, it's not. And I went, oh, yeah, I got more of this first dipper to do. Sorry, I got excited. Hey, listen, let's finish this up here. Running the numbers. So, you know, what do they mean? By the way, I take polls with a heavy grain of salt. Just saying. Nothing against my friend John Rogers, who's good at what he does. But I used to joke that if polls were always to be believed, I never would have gotten elected. So, I mean, I had people predicting me, he's going down, man. The Democrats got him by like 4 points going into the final day. Psh, right. I won by 4. That's an 8-point swing. What's wrong with your poll? Anyway, there's so much, though, in the numbers. It's interesting to look at. And I will say this. Right now, Trump is the forerunner in the whole field of Republican. We have a big field, and what an amazing field in the Republican side. And they're going to debate on a stage. I mean, it's wow, how novel. Meanwhile, Biden's going to hide in his basement and eat ice cream, I guess. But there's a number of things that are out there that you have to take into account. There's things like their favorable, unfavorable ratings. So, you know, Trump's dominating the GOP primary. But Trump actually has very high unfavorable views right now. Believe it or not, as many people as want to see him win, they're also worried about some of what he is. And so in terms of his unfave, Trump has an unfavorable view of 56%, according to one major poll. This article I've got right here from New York Post goes on to say, on the whole, Republican voters and independents say they want a presidential candidate to be a great leader, while Democrats prefer a woman with great policy ideas. What? Why can't you be both? I'm pretty sure Trump was both. And I'm pretty sure that if DeSantis got in there now, or if, you know, if Tim Scott got in there now, I'm pretty sure they would know how to put policies in place and lead at the same time. So the idea that we have to split that up makes no sense to me. Biden's approval rating, it says in the poll, remains underwater with 58% unfavorable. That's huge for a sitting president. Now, being a sitting president, you're subject to what is happening now, whereas Trump's unfaves are potentially based upon what happened back then, although Trump is definitely in the news still right now. Biden's got a 58% unfavorable rating. And it's funny to watch this. You also have to look at these numbers. Biden is going to hit the general election at 80 years old. Does that matter? Apparently it does. There's a large number of people out there that really believe that, in his case, age is certainly a factor. Well, isn't Trump like 76? Yes. But I watched last night, or actually I listened last night, as Bret Baier did an interview with Trump. And it was a combative interview. It was a classic combative, I'm not taking your stuff, I'm answering the questions the way I want to answer them type Trump interview. Like, good luck to the person who signs up. You better be a strong interviewer if you're going to keep up. Compare and contrast that, though, with the ability of Biden to do an interview. Biden has to pretty much be handed softball questions and have cue cards in his hands to know what to do next. Trump's up there just giving what for. So is age the factor? I think it's more like, is mental acuity the factor? And there's a lot of folks that believe, and the polling indicates, that there are concerns about whether or not Biden is up to the job. What is up to the job now, while he holds the office, much less going in for a second time? Last piece I've got here, this came out just a couple of days ago. A Harvard Caps Harris poll, which was released exclusively to The Hill magazine just before the weekend. 59% of Republican voters say that if the GOP primary were held today, they'd vote for Trump. 14% say Governor Ron DeSantis. 8% say Mike Pence. 4% say Nikki Haley. The rest of them don't register. And they say in this thing right here, the indictment of former President Trump has had no impact on his support in the GOP primary, as Ron DeSantis now has apparently even more ground to make up in that poll. So, yeah, and like I said earlier with John Rogers, Trump's campaign raised $6 million once the indictment was handed down. So these numbers, they're significant. And some of the folks that are actually in the race, you wonder, why are you in the race at all, unless you're just looking for an appointment with whoever actually gets the ticket? But that being said, it is still right now a Trump race to lose. The Democrats are throwing everything in the world they've got at him. The next person in line, of course, is Ron DeSantis. They're the only two registering consistently in double digits. But there's a lifetime between now and the election, a lifetime between now and the primary. And we'll keep you posted on what we see. All right, coming right back, 3:30, we're going to switch gears. Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.